Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like sucking.
Come on, man.
Legit bad podcast.
He has a legit bad.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Welcome to Legit Bat Podcast. We are live on rockfin.com/legitbat. If you're listening to the audio feed, head over to Rockfin if you want to see our faces and all of our premium content and everybody else's shit to support alternate platforms and alternate media, because we all need your help, especially in this day and age. But we have Andrew Rouse from the Deep Share podcast tonight. Andy, Andrew, which one?
Oh, either way, man. Andrew's fine. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
So what are you doing? Why'd you have to rush? Do you have a separate studio, or what's going on there? Is that your house?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. It's down in my basement. I've just been rushing around ever since I got home from work. Just been a
Me too.
Crazy day. Yeah. Always a crazy day.
I got home from work about 45 minutes ago and was like, I got to set everything up.
Oh, jeez.
But we make it work half the time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the stream's working now. It was doing something weird earlier. Yeah. It was playing something from yesterday on the stream, and I'm like, what the fuck is
Corey's
happening
in the
right
chat. Corey, can you hear us okay? Is there any weird clicking or anything? Because that's what happened last time, and I was about to shoot somebody. We'll wait for him to respond.
Well, there's a delay, too.
But I guess if there is a problem, it's not going to really matter till after the fact and when we do post-production. But
yeah.
Anyway, so let's start out, Andy, with telling us a little bit about your show and how you got into this game. We always like to start that way because you're in the Union of the Unwanted too, so obviously we have the same, you know, general interests and shows and same group of friends we roll with. So how'd you get your start?
Oh, well, with podcasting, I tried it with a friend last year and didn't really fly. Wasn't really, you know, I just found that I had my ideas and he had his, and they just kind of weren't the same really. So I just decided to take a break on that. And then I said, I really like it. I really enjoy trying to reach out and talk to people and everything about the same shit that I always think about. So let me give this a try again. So I started up in February, and it's been fun. You know, it's been a good
February.
Time.
Nice.
Just this February, this year.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty
new.
Quick to get into the union. I mean, that took us what, 8 months or something?
I don't know.
I have no idea how it happened, man. It just all fell into place, I guess. But I was just a modest guest on that one episode, so it was fun, but. I believe we're both part of Alt Media United too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I think Mark's doing a great job with that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, we love Mark.
Really important to build the community.
The union shows are rough for me. I love going on there, but it's so funny because every time we've only been on a couple times, but
we like don't talk.
When we it's hard. There's
just
there's
kind of
like
listen.
There's about 17 million people on the screen, and they're all trying to talk at once. So I'm like, when do I just start talking?
They're all so much more informed than us too. I'm just like, oh, I'm just glad I get to watch this happening in real time, I guess.
That's
but
what
I don't
told,
really want to stop.
I told Sam
interrupt.
That I was like, I'm used to watching or listening to you all, so it's weird that I can talk back. So this is cool.
Yeah. I mean, near the end I talked, but for the most part, I was just intently listening to everyone involved.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally.
And man, that episode lasted a good 20 hours, maybe
20
less. No,
hours?
I think it was less before it got taken off of YouTube. I think it was less than a day, but I could be wrong. It may have been
a
little bit more than a day.
YouTube's getting harsh with their removals.
Which one was that?
It was the Mikovits effect that
did
that.
That's why.
Oh.
They need to like spell it differently, or you know, mask it somehow.
she could wear like a costume or something.
She could wear one of those glasses with the mustache and the nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Moody Jaikovits.
Yeah.
Right. Where in the world is Judy Mikovits?
That's funny.
Yeah, I actually haven't got to listen to that one yet. I'm still catching up on shows. Every time I have a couple days off, the shows get backlogged. But I did get to hear the one you did, the Massive show with Charlie. And who else was on that one? It was Charlie...
Oh, the round table about the disclosure.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah, that was author Bruce Fenton was there with me.
Yeah.
Dave Zed from Generation Z podcast.
We were just
was
talking
there.
To him last night.
Yeah, he was on.
That's show. Right. Yeah, I listened to that episode just this morning.
Oh, nice.
Or
whenever you guys put
episode.
It out.
Oh, so you got to hear the weird clicking noise for the first half.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
You know, it's funny too, because I was just talking to Dave about it a few hours ago. I was like, "Hey, yeah, I just heard you on Legit Bat last night." Yeah, so that's cool. He's good people, but Charlie was there. That was awesome. I just needed some voices to get together and talk about the horse shit I was seeing all over the news with my favorite conspiracy theory. You know, the whole alien phenomenon since I was a child. That's been like the coolest shit ever. And just watching it all fall apart and watching my perspective on it change and warp over the years now. It's just wild, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at alien stuff for, probably half my life.
Yeah,
but the last several years, especially with the newer stuff that's popped up with, all the normal bullshit in the mainstream, the Tic Tac and that kind of thing. But I'm actually less interested in it now because it's so in the mainstream. Everybody seems to be on the same page with that too. It's like we don't trust anything they say. So why are we going to start trusting them now when they start? They're like, oh, here's a 6-page bullshit document that says nothing we don't already know that we've looked at for years. So,
right.
I talked to Chris from Forbidden Knowledge News about that too, and he even before it all came out, he was saying the same thing. He's like, dude, it's not going to be anything. It's going to be either stuff we already know, or it's going to be them skirting around the actual, thing. But yeah,
there's no point. It's the same as always. Just keep digging, keep doing your own research, and keep looking for those anecdotal stories and kind of finding the truth that way, because you're going to find it a lot faster, the real truth, rather than watching the news to see what they have the fuck to say about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just for me, I look at it like they lay out a mockery or a mimic next to whatever is natural and true. And it doesn't matter where you look, you can find that literally everywhere in reality. Just like no matter what, they always lay out this perfect mimic next to something that would actually benefit us. And it's always warped and devoid of transformative purpose and meaning.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
intentionally,
our educational system is supposed to teach our children, but it's indoctrinating them instead. Our grocery stores are supposed to feed us, but they're mostly filled with poison that didn't even exist 100 years ago. So it's just like all of it is just inverted and all that. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. We had Corey in the chat was saying, have you heard about this fucking guy? I keep asking about. I think he's talking about the secret space guy or the secret space program guy. I don't, Corey, you'll have
Which
to
one?
Answer me in the chat. Yeah.
I know. I don't, you're going to have
we
to
need a name,
specific.
Buddy. Come on.
Which disinfo agent are we talking about? Because recently I'm just getting more upset about Richard Doty again. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that name.
Vaguely. I'm more familiar with Corey Good, and everyone I've talked to about him says he's garbage. So, I mean, I've heard a couple of his stories and I'm like, no, I don't think so, buddy.
Bad actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all bad actors. I don't even know. It's weird too, because I'm not definite in my take on like Lou Elizondo, or like I'm not sure where the deception is with everybody. Like, how much of the deception does Lou Elizondo have to know about? You know, maybe a lot. Maybe a lot. I mean, he's pretty high ranking and all that, or was, but it just. Maybe not everyone has to be involved with it. You know what I mean? Maybe people can be led on different layers.
Yeah, we talked about Lou Elizondo a little bit yesterday with Dave, and it's one of those things where he's so in the public eye right now that I immediately go, I don't know.
Right.
I feel like
exactly.
Whoever is in control, though, can look down and see what pieces of information maybe they need to feed each person to have them all, and it could be completely different, but to have everyone kind of align on the same wavelength. It doesn't have to be all the same info. It can be just right. enough to keep everyone kind of going in the same direction so they can drop little pieces here and there. It doesn't have to be dumping all of it, but just a little bit. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, I can lead this narrative or, you know, string this person along or whatever. And then they kind of all collectively do it together.
Okay, so Corey says the beyond, oh, I just lost it. The beyond, hold on, everyone's talking. Beyond Top Secret Texas guy. Does that ring a bell?
No, it does not. Somebody from Texas. I mean, you know, if I heard a name, I might know. I'm not like...
I'm sorry, Corey. I keep trying to remind myself to listen to that show you're talking about, and I keep forgetting. Oh, hi to Deplorable Janet in the chat. Hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Janet.
She says, I love you, sexy fuckers.
We love you, too, you sexy bitch.
Anyway, what was that thing you were telling me about the other day? The video game stuff with Doom, or you had some kind of stream of thought you were talking about on that.
If I can remember, who knows?
Well, it had Doom something to do with Bethesda. Like
my favorite video game franchise of all time, and like they've recently rebooted it, oddly enough, in 2016, when a lot of things were changing and stirring up. But you know, the most violent, brutal, very religious game reboots itself in 2016, and it was epic. I loved all of it. I love video games like that. But it's interesting that like 2 months ago I was hearing some bullshit news story like, eventually we're gonna have to start thinking about Marines on Mars, and I'm just like, great. So now my favorite video game is predictive programming? Like, what the fuck is this?
Aww.
So it was just like, really, it wasn't necessarily like a big rabbit hole. But I think, were you and I talking about the story itself with Doom? Did I mention that to you?
Possibly.
Because if I didn't, there is something weird there, because it's very like Ancient Aliens in that game. Hmm. And it's basically about this race of angels, quote unquote, that like basically enslave humanity, and they feed off the negative energy, which creates hell. It's pretty on the nose.
I was gonna say, that's actually pretty spot on. Yeah,
and the thing is like Doom was never necessarily that deep. I mean, talking from 1993, it was just, you're a space marine, you're disgruntled and you're locked up, and all your friends die because demons came through a portal,
and you just gotta kill them all, just shoot everything. Yeah,
metal music and just go for it. That was it.
Yeah, it was great.
But now, you know, little baby id Software gets bought by, well, not baby. I mean, my God, they made Doom. They made a lot of great games. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, a developer like id Software gets bought by this mega corporation, Bethesda. And now Doom becomes this big, huge, massive mainstream title. And this is the story they're putting behind it. It's just really, really, it's just another breadcrumb, you know?
Yeah. It is weird the amount of movies, video games, and TV shows lately that are all space. So space is something we've been kind of stuck on lately, mostly because we told it yesterday, the story of our weird UFO or whatever the fuck that was. But also, we're going to have Crow 777 come on soon, and I want to get his take on the moon and other stuff like that. So what do you think of space? Because I didn't get to get into it with Dave last night, but I really wanted to talk to him about different theories of space, because he was talking about the moon and bases being on the moon, but there's a whole other train of thought that says the moon's a hologram, or it's, you know, a projection of some kind, which, if you think about the way you can only see the one face of the moon, and it just happens to spin just at the right speed, so you only see that face of the moon, is something I can't get my head around still. It does sound like it's like a bat light in the sky or something, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know. We just talk out of our ass here. But what do you think about space in general?
Oh, I love talking out of my ass. It's my favorite thing to do.
It's my favorite orifice.
A lot of times the asses come together and form one giant ass.
Penis.
But like, it all makes sense, so it's okay. So space is really messing with me lately, with a lot of stuff I've been looking into, a lot of stuff I discarded immediately before, and now I'm just like, oh God. Because like the moon landing stuff, for a long time I kind of wondered if just the idea of it all being faked was the power trip and was this like the PSYOP, but that was a long time ago. And now it's just, it's getting really dark and really weird. And I don't know what we live on right now. I'm not saying I'm like sold on flat earth by any means, but you know, listening to David Weiss and watching Level, if you guys have seen that documentary that came out, it's pretty interesting. And
is that the one where it shows like different dimensions, like the pie
Level
slices
flat
or whatever?
Earth. Level was Eric Dubay, and at the end he's like, you know, come and debate me, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and
they won't
and all
do
that
it.
And they won't do it, of course, but it's because it's below them.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. I've kind of wondered if maybe flat earth theory or whatever kind of maybe exposes things that they don't want exposed, but not necessarily flat earth. But now I don't know. I'm really, really messed up, man.
I know.
There's a lot of shit that just does not add up and does kind of lean towards flat earth. So I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
I know. It's more confusing than ever, because I still have the picture of my earth as we're told, and it just makes me think, oh, because we've been brainwashed the same way we've been brainwashed about everything. But at the same time, I'm not going to be like, yeah, the earth is flat. And David Weiss hates it when you refer to earth as a flat disk in space.
Of course.
He's like, we're not floating around in the middle of space. He thinks it's
don't call Antarctica an ice wall.
Yeah, he thinks it's a basement, the basement of the universe, in that there's
shoreline.
Everything else is out, you know, beyond that. We're just a little pond in the middle of the universe, which is this big plane. Which I like the idea of. That's kind of what Sam Tripoli says too. He says we live in a realm or a plane, you know, like right. A plane without the, or that's Crow.
Why
we
go
live
through
in a
all
plane
the trouble
without the
of saying that we're on a round Earth, though? I guess I just feel like there's other ways to control.
Did
you
listen
find,
to the newest TFH?
Are they just lazy? And
with David Weiss and Eddie Bravo, because
yeah,
he tried to get to that. He's like, the why is the most important part, and it's because they want to make you feel insignificant and all this whatever.
They could do that if we were on a flat earth too. They could find their ways. I just feel like they always find a way.
Yeah, we could. That's the same conclusion that I'm kind of hanging on to, is that, okay, that's why I want to talk to David Weiss, and that's why I'm having him on my show next week, because
awesome.
Why not? I mean, I'm open-minded, and I know he's not, because he is.
I was just going to say, he was
set.
On our show, so be careful. Just be as open-minded as you want. But
and that's the thing
show.
I'm trying to
it was
be,
fun.
Because like
fun.
My background, how I really, you know, get into the fringe stuff is my experiences with psychedelics. So
yeah.
I come from a perspective where I basically witnessed my entire physical existence warp in front of my own two cameras that David Weiss says we're supposed to take pretty seriously what they can do for us. So I'm okay with giving up my, you know, accepted childhood model. I don't want to collapse on another wave function though and just say I'm flat earth.
Right.
I mean, they can't prove that either.
I'm not totally against the flat earth thing. I just don't see enough real proof from either side, really. When they talk about how all the pictures of Earth from space are CGI, like, that's kind of a known fact. They're artist, what do they call them? Composites.
Right.
Which
cloud
is a nice way of saying
exactly the same.
Yeah, it's a nice way of saying it's not really out of space. We're just kind of guessing what it would look like at this distance, which is... That's fucking retarded. They have things up there that could take a picture of the whole Earth. So why are they all composite photos? That's just one question. The moon's a whole other story, though. I mean,
yeah,
there's,
really is.
There's that one dude, I can't remember his name, but he takes really high telescopic pictures of the moon, and I need to get this guy on. I can't remember his name now. Chris from FKN had him on, but he takes these super close-up pictures of the moon, and there's actual structures on there that cannot be made by nature. They look like there's, what do they call them, 45 degree, 90 degree angle rocks, or what they look like rocks. Have you heard of this guy? I can't remember what his name is, but
has anyone in the chat heard of this guy?
Yeah,
I
anybody
know.
In the chat? No, but you got, I gotta
seen,
have this guy on.
I think I've only seen the bullshit videos on like Instagram where you know, they're zooming in on the moon and you see those craft flying over it. Have you seen that one yet? It's pretty great. And everyone's like totally sold on it. But I don't think that's real. I think I actually saw that it was like someone's like expose on, you know, Adobe Premiere or something, you know, messing with
Well, you know how social media is at people who are getting real truth out there. They'd pull that shit down in 2 seconds if it was real. So if we saw it,
And this is that's my favorite thing right there. And that's what I've been getting into really hard lately. And I don't know what to make of it really is this. I don't know how censored anything really is. I mean, like we're on Rockfin right now only, right? We're not on YouTube.
Yes.
No.
For a good reason, right?
Because
we'd probably be, because we'd be getting kicked off of YouTube owned by Google.
Yeah, fuck YouTube.
So instead, we all go to Google Play and download Rockfin.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not under the radar for now.
I'm not saying anything about Rockfin. This is a great platform. But like, it's all allowed. It just depends.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, sure. But like, I don't know. Have you guys thought about that? Like, fine, YouTube, you get kicked off. It's the biggest platform. It's where most people are going to go. But how long does it take to like get your audience, at least the ones that are already willing to listen and the ones that are going to reach out to other people to go over to where you are?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think the same thing with podcasts, though, too, because the podcasts... Podcasts are run by the same fucking company, Spotify, Google Play, all that. And for the most part, nobody really gets booted off of their RSS feed yet. There have been a couple that gained, you know, a lot of attention that have just somehow disappeared because of one reason or another. But they actually did. There was an article a while ago that said podcasts were the right-wing conspiracy theory loophole that is getting through, you know, getting through the cracks of media. And it's like, well, yeah, for now, until they figure it out. I think there's just too much out there. There's too many shows and too many hours of listening for them to actually go through and be like, oh, we need to get this guy out, you know.
Well,
especially small potatoes like
us. Though I think if they really care, I don't, this is just a theory and it's just a hypothesis really, and I don't think about this too much, but they could just be herding us all into one place where we think we're super free, and then we're like, oh, look it, we can get all of our shit out. This is awesome. And then all of a sudden they're like, great, I'm so glad you all made it, and shut it down. That could be possible.
But that could definitely be possible. I mean, I don't know. I wonder, because like, I feel like we, like, like Dr. Malcolm in Jurassic Park, life always finds a way, right? Like, we seem to always find a way to get the message out. You look all throughout time, at least. I mean, I don't know. Can we trust time anymore with Anatoly Fomenko and Tartaria? Everything's a psyop. That's what I'm thinking, like, because my psychedelic experience had me convinced that I had been running a conspiracy on myself my whole life. Like, I was like,
that,
you know, the whole ego death thing. You know, you look at the Eastern mysticism stuff, this whole place is suspect, man. This whole reality is suspect. I mean, you talked to Human Vibration already, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was just about to talk about our conversation with her. We talked about how I was like, oh, this could all be a set where they're like, okay, we're going to make this little society. Let's put some trees down. Let's put some dinosaur bones in
here. Truman Show.
Let's make
the
them
Truman
discover
Show
things
full of truth.
And think that it's old. And then they plop us down. And then they're like, wow, you guys have been here forever. Now lights on, and that's the moon and the sun. They've got the lighting, and
yeah. Yeah, almost like a mimicry of the real thing. Because like, I often wonder, like, well, why have I had the images in my head for so long? But of course, that could just be the predictive programming. But I don't know. Yeah. There's an innate feeling of beautiful space, like, and a vastness of reality, you know. I feel that innately, I think. And it's not, I don't know, maybe that's just the internal mind is infinite or something.
Yeah, but that's what they need to censor, is your mind asking these questions. That's the weirdest thing about people getting censored just for asking questions. It's not like they're saying, oh, so we can say vaccine on here. It's not like people are like, vaccine's going to kill you. It's other people saying, maybe you should look into it and not just be so fast to go get stabbed, not to move on a COVID talk, but it's the same thing, you know, just asking the questions will get you booted off shit. And that is suspect in and of itself.
Yeah.
Mentioning the words will just get you that beautiful little tag at the bottom of your posts.
X Cube says, I've learned how to talk in parables and code that all of my audience understands and the algorithm doesn't pick up. He talked about that a couple weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, I need to get better at that. I just kind of blurt shit out. Damn it.
Yeah. Starting to wonder about this... cuneiform from ancient Sumer. Maybe that was the same thing.
Do you think this is our first life, though? Because I don't. So I think we have that innate knowing of what life really is because we've come from somewhere else and maybe this is just our life here. Like, I don't know if we chose it or if we just get reincarnated randomly, but this is where we are. And we're like, wait a sec. This is a little fucky. It wasn't like this in my last life.
Yeah. That definitely was a memory from my psychedelic experiences. Granted, I had friends with me doing these same things, coming back, looking at me sideways still, like not having the same experiences. So, I mean, I guess maybe my psychedelic, at least a couple of them, kind of broke through into like a spiritual awakening sort of description more than anything else.
But yeah,
I had a very weird sense of reincarnation. A sense that, and you know, they say you go and you can kind of like see the other side, you can see what insanity is like on psychedelics. And I felt insane. And the reason why was because time didn't exist. And I had been doing this life over and over and over and over and over again. And that's something that will always stay with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to make of it. I got lost into the Truman Show solipsis type shit for a little while. It got real dark. I started wondering who was real out there. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have this online community. Yeah. I did not have this online community. I'm sure you didn't either back then. It happened to me, God, like 2001, something 2000, around that time.
Oh, wow.
Before 9/11.
Right.
But
what were you doing? Can you tell me if you feel like it? I want to hear it because we have some experiences too, but like it's not foreign to us. So I would like to hear your experiences.
And did you shit your pants? That's the most important question.
No, but I remember almost doing it. Or was it? No, that was my friend. But you know, the whole transpersonal thing. My friend was like, I've never felt so relaxed, guys. Never in my life have I felt this. Oh my God. Like that. So I remember that experience. I remember laughing a lot at that experience.
That's awesome.
So mushrooms was like my first breakthrough. And then I did mushrooms for a while. Acid mostly came after that. Mescaline kind of mixed in with that. And two experiences on dimethyltryptamine, which... The first one was really, really mind-blowing, and the second one is a pretty intense story, but not a very intense experience. I can go into that if you want.
I would love to hear your DMT stories, because we want to try it. We just haven't.
I'm a little bit chicken shit for it.
Small children, and I just am scared that there would... I feel like we'll have to be like older, which is weird, but I just want to make sure we're not freaking out.
I want to be in the hospital, literally dying and shitting my pants, and then be like, you know what? Fuck it. Shoot some DMT into my arm, because what could be worse?
I think DMT is a glimpse into reality, though. So I think that that's something that we're conditioned not to see, or it's been shielded from us forever. We've been trained to think all of it's crazy. So to actually see it would be so mind blowing that it's a little bit intimidating to me, but I want to hear your story. Go.
Yes, please.
It is intimidating. It's really intimidating. I'm intimidated thinking about it right now. And it's like some of it's over there, but I haven't touched. I'm possibly allegedly in. Like I have a little, but like when I was my friend just was like, hey, would you like some of this? I know you used to do this. And I was like, oh yeah, definitely. Yes. And he was like, well, it's free because the guy I get it from was doing it too much and said that the gods told him, or he was selling it and the gods told him to stop selling it, that it's to be for free for everyone.
Oh shit. That's when you know it's a real experience. He got better from it.
I was like, all right, I'll take some of that. Yeah. But I haven't touched it and it's terrifying. And it's just over there. But, the first time was years and years and years ago, and I basically smoked it like the ghetto fashion, where you like wrap it in weed, basically.
Oh yeah.
Make a little weed ball and have it in the middle of it. Otherwise, you're just gonna fry it all immediately. It's still, most of it gets fried. I'll tell you that. Like, that's like the bad way to do it, because you're pretty much roasting off like 30% of the chemical.
Well, I heard you're actually, the best way to smoke it is out of a crack pipe, which is another reason I haven't really wanted to. I'm like, I don't like that look. It's a bad look.
We're going to have to go buy a crack pipe. Like, damn it.
Yeah.
It's like, and you have to walk into the smoke shop with your head down. You're this isn't for what you think it is.
It's for DMT. Isn't that better?
The thing is, we think that way, but I bet it's like for the past 10 years, they're like, well, like, of course you're not doing crack. Jesus Christ. Of course.
Like, who does that?
You're going to do DMT and melt your reality, of course, right? Okay.
Good for you, buddy. Enjoy your trip.
I think the consciousness is shifting in that direction a little bit, at least at the head shops. But yeah, so the first experience, so I did it that way. And what I experienced was a feeling of everything and everyone that I loved surrounding me and encompassing me and basically blending into that, even though I was completely alone with my buddy in a garage. But that's what came over me, just everything and everyone that was in my conscious mind, all there and getting closer and closer. And just, it felt like a massive hug. I never broke through. And I still have yet to break through. My second time, I didn't break through either. So unfortunately, that's kind of a letdown for the story. But I did. It was a pretty mind-blowing experience. I just didn't go to that multiverse type craziness that, you know, where the machine elves are necessarily. Well,
that was just what I was thinking. I'm like, when you see the machine elves,
a lot of the weird ones that break through, they talk about that creature that has, like, he's like basically made of eyes, and he's like kind of guarding it, and they come up to him and he's like fucking looking at him all over the place, and then he either tells them to go away that they can't see it, or they actually like snap out of it enough to take another hit and just kind of bust through the eyeball monster. But that's what freaks me out. I'm like, I don't want to meet some eyeball dude. Like, I want it to be like, I don't know, Buddha or Jesus or something. I don't need this eyeball demon.
Or yourself.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah, I don't want to meet myself up there.
What was your second one?
The second one, it's funny too, because I talked about like that dark period. Psychedelics were beautiful for me, but they forced me into a really like dark, scary, lonely place for a while. Even though I had plenty of friends and good relationships happening, it was that I didn't have really anyone to relate any of the stuff in my head to, because like I said, most of my friends were just kind of like enjoying the trip, whereas I felt like Indiana Jones in like the most important movie ever. And that it was like, and maybe who knows, maybe it was just thoughts of grandeur, right? That's what psychedelics can do sometimes, you know, where I felt like I was running along a thought as like a tiny little microscopic thing, you know, time doesn't exist. Space is crazy. So, but like a lot of the themes from DMT, like, and all the psychedelics like really freaked me out when I felt like I didn't have a lot of guiding voices to trust. And so I got into deep drinking and just like shut the world off. I stopped looking into conspiracy theories and the truth and all the beautiful Eastern mysticism I was learning and all that. I shut it all off. It was too much. And so 10 years or like maybe 8 years went by, and you know, this podcast is rolling and everything. I acquired this substance, and I've been clean. I've been off of, I've been, you know, sober for 3 years or maybe less.
Well, oh, wow.
Close to it. I don't even keep track. I don't.
You gotta smoke weed though, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's right here.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
Nice.
But that keeps me sane. The oldest medicine in the world keeps me sane. God forbid, whatever.
Yeah.
But long story. I'm rambling now. But it's the first time I've really got into this.
That's all we do. Knock yourself out.
So, you know, been sober for a long time. Really confident. Everything's great. No problems at all. I was gonna take the DMT, and this weird primitive monkey part of my brain that had been shut off for so long crept back in and went, you know, if you just had a little bit to drink, it would probably make things a little smoother and all this anxiety would go away about doing the DMT. And that sounds like the dumbest idea on the face of the planet, even if I wasn't a recovering alcoholic. So I didn't even have I had like a glass of wine, just a glass of wine. I barely got tipsy at all. And then I did the DMT. I did 3 big hits. And
that's supposed to be the magic number on DMT.
You didn't break through?
So maybe I did, but here's what happened. Maybe it was kind of like the eye monster that just like shunned me away. Yeah. But it basically, what I felt like, and I did end up coming to on the floor outside of my studio where I am now, and where I started doing it. So I clearly left the room and ended up on the floor. What I felt like was some horrible monster was putting my nose in shit and telling me that I wasn't going to get any of the presents that I was promised.
Like Bad Dog?
Basically. And it was the scary, it was so scary. It was so, it was wow. Like something out of Insidious or The Conjuring or something. It was terrifying. So maybe I did break through, but what was waiting for me because of what I did beforehand was that clearly entered it. So that entered into my mind almost immediately. Thoughts that I've had for a long, long time. That was no monster. That was no demon. That was no devil. That was me. And that's who it always is.
That's what I was wondering, is a lot of the things, it's almost like a reflection of your own psyche. So you had it in your head before that you didn't want to drink, but you did anyway. So it was like you shoving your own nose in your own shit going, hey, don't do that.
Like, you absolutely know better. Like, that's yeah. So
this is
scary.
Cosmically wrong for you. What are you doing?
Do you know how much time
a little bit about, a little bit of hyperbole there, higher minutes. Self. Come on.
Okay.
It was really not that long. Maybe less. Maybe like 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow.
But yeah. It was not
like
what
forever,
I wanted.
Though?
It felt like a good amount of time. It didn't feel like forever, because I have experienced that eternal feeling on psychedelics in many ways. Like, basically turning into a statue for generations and then suddenly remembering that I was just standing at the fridge looking for a glass of milk or something.
Dude, that's funny. You know, I've said so that crazy. Same thing. I think I've told it on the show probably a million times, but the one time where I was taking a piss and I had this almost out of body thing where I didn't exist in any time and I could like
yep.
kind of see myself as a kid, as an old man, and all of it all at once while I was taking a leak, like of all times. But it was kind of like a statue thing where I was taking a leak, staring into the bowl, and just kind of like existed nowhere for like 10 seconds and then like came back in and was like, oh my God, that's probably the weirdest shit on psychedelics I've ever experienced.
I think that's what makes it so lonely, though. Like, I feel like when all of my experiences, I'll have... my brain is going so fast and it's forming so many thoughts and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That could be real. I should think of this more. And I'm going into it and it's realistic things. I don't have a good example right now. I haven't done them in a while. But when you come out of that, you can't really talk about it with anyone and you're still kind of stuck in that afterglow, they call it, the next day. So you're still thinking of how grateful you are for it and what you've learned and what you've thought of, but it's a personal thing. So you don't really want to talk to anybody, but then it ends up being lonely and then it ends up being depressing and it can be negative, even though it's supposed to be positive. So I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ironically enough, I was definitely talking about it too much. I was the other end of the spectrum. I was like the crazy man running down the church halls, like screaming the good news.
Have
like,
you heard?
That's
psychedelic
kind
Jesus.
Kind of what I got out of it. Yeah, man. Like, and I was never religious before. I was never into like anything. I look back and I wrote this recently, because I was thinking about maybe like starting a blog along with the website or something. And I wrote that, like, my life up until psychedelics, when I look back now, looks like a very robotic, like, automatic, no decisions really being made. It's a very strange feeling, because I look back at a very fond childhood and a nice upbringing, but I also look back at, like, an automaton. It's just a weird feeling, because after that wake up, it really was nuts. It was like all of the things I never even thought about. I just cared about like baseball and like some music. That was about it. Like, I wasn't, you know, like movies. I was that guy. Like, that was nothing to me. Like, that's what I remember as like a young teenager. But I'm sure my friends were like, what's wrong, man? You're a cool kid. But
we can probably all relate to that to some extent. I remember growing up and totally being robotic. I feel like a robot now because my job is retarded and I do the same thing every day, but at least my brain can be somewhere else while I'm doing these stupid human tasks every day. You know?
You have the perspective though now of doing psychedelics and your brain opened up so you can look back and be like, whoa, who the fuck was I then? So it kind of changed your perception of yourself a little bit. So that makes sense that you'd look back and be like, did it take this to make me a little bit more intellectual and, you know, thinking about things instead of just like
I did
like,
notice I found him on Facebook and I don't know if you want me to say that or not, but
that's fine.
He had short hair. He looked like a square and stuff.
Shit.
And then
look
at his hair now.
That
he's got
picture.
He's
my
got
son's
my
like
hair.
One in that picture.
Oh, really?
And this is my original form. Like, this is what like used to be long ago before. Yeah, I took the typical job that just makes you do the same thing over and over. And, well, you know, this look doesn't really fit who I'm surrounded by constantly. And you just fall into that kind of shit. And that was during all the dark period, that happy jock looking dude.
Did you shave every day too? Cause I stopped doing that a while ago.
I didn't do that. I had the beard for a long, long time, but
I mostly did it cause I'm a cheap bastard and I got sick of paying so much for razors. But now I can't think of a reason I would shave every day now. I see these baby face dudes out there that look like they just shaved 3 hours ago. It's like, what? Ugh, why?
I remember seeing this cool video on YouTube. I can't remember what it was called. I think it was just literally called We're All Monkeys. And it was like some, maybe a stand-up, like showing slides of us as humans and just calling us all monkeys. Like, monkeys live in these giant hives called cities and they're wonderful. And one scene was like, monkeys like to deny the hair from their body. They like to deny nature and remove all the hair from their bodies.
They shave their balls too. What's up with that?
Balls! Balls!
Funny. Yeah, sorry. We do get off on tangents here.
I love that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, he's got
a million tangents.
At least a few of our shows, so you know.
Man. I've heard you guys a long time. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I've been following along with you guys for a while.
Oh, really?
No,
that's
shit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't
but
know that.
I will admit that, like, it's hectic these days to keep up with everybody's shows because, like, I have, like, 40 podcasts, like, saved in my app.
Dude, mine's, like,
now,
62 at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and because, hey, this is what I asked for, right? The law of attraction or the law of assumption, as some call it. I wanted a community, man, and it's here and shit. But like every one of those podcasts has like 1, 2, 3, 4 that I haven't been able to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much going on these days. You know?
Do you get to watch them at your work too? Like for what you do for work? Do you get to just listen to podcasts all day?
I can listen most of the time. Sometimes I can watch, you know, but I secretly do some research.
I know. That's why every time I schedule someone, the community and for us has gotten so extended now that we had to literally sync our calendar app on our phone between me and Ben's not here tonight. He's got something going on. But me, Ben, and Jen all have a synced calendar where I just have our shows in there and then like other shit that's in our schedule, like the kids' work or, you know, anything else going on, just so that I can try to schedule everything. That's why I had to push it out to 7 tonight because we had other life stuff going on. But it's hard to keep up with shows, let alone all the people from these shows that we for some reason get to talk to all the time.
So cool,
it's
though.
Crazy.
Last year was such a good time to start listening to podcasts, especially, I hate to mention the C word, COVID, but it just made us a like literally be like, oh, okay, everything's fake and the
everything's
world is
fake
dumb.
And gay.
So we just got into every conspiracy podcast ever, and I listened to it nonstop because I, of course, inevitably lost my job because of COVID. So I DoorDashed and I got to listen because he's a FedEx courier, so he gets to listen to it all the time. Oh, sorry. Well, you can cut it out. Well, you work for Ground, the bad one.
No, I work for UPS. I can say that.
So,
there you go.
No, but we just had the ability to listen to all these crazy things and talk about it more and more and more and more. And then when we started doing our show, everyone wanted to come on and talk to us too and have us on and talk and share. And it was so awesome because everyone, it's a great, COVID no brought us all together. So it was really great. I think it was a wonderful thing.
We were talking about that. I can't remember who I was talking, maybe Ron from New England, but we were talking about how there's like no competition though. There's no reason to compete with each other because we all are kind of in the same community. It's not like me having you on is going to take money away from someone else or, you know,
it's
whatever.
It's all cooperation instead, you know?
Yeah.
That's
what the government hates.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we're striving for. I think that's the only thing we can do because we've been talking about conspiracy, we as in the general we, for goddamn 80 years or whatever it's been, or maybe longer, who knows? But I mean, we've been talking and talking and talking and talking. We need new members, right? But at the same time, a lot of us who have been in the trenches for so long, it's time to like really bring community to the next level. So like I'm seeing all these amazing things pop up around the country. Like Truthzilla was doing that amazing thing out in Oregon with that huge festival.
Hoping to go to that.
Yeah, we're going
to
go to that because we live really close. Oh.
God, that's awesome, you guys. I used to live in Oregon. Of course, now I'm way over in Massachusetts. Actually,
that's where I'm from.
Can't call it that. Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I live in California now because it's the same as Massachusetts.
Yeah, no shit.
I can say where I'm from. Do you know, are you like close to Boston? You don't have to say where you live exactly.
Let's see if we can get real. Let's triangulate.
Okay, triangulate while I go take a leak. I got a leak.
There you go.
Say it the way that someone who wouldn't, that didn't live there, say it, okay? But I'll know what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, all I have to do is say it starts with Leo.
Oh, yep. I know exactly what that is. And I know it doesn't really start with Leo.
Right. Okay. It's right next to Lank and Loon and Fitch and all that. Oh, yeah, you know those guys.
You grew up with those guys at the end. Yeah. Well, I'm from this little town called Chelmsford and no one's ever heard of it, so I can say
no one's heard of Leominster either. So yeah. Whatever.
Oh no, people have. That's a way bigger one. But it's
really, is it?
Right,
I mean,
by
Johnny
Lowell.
Appleseed, right? Yeah. Yes, it is. That's right. Chelmsford, wait. Okay. So I'm a metalhead. I graduated in 2003. There was a guy maybe 3 or 4 years older than me, maybe less, who was in a very popular band named Reveille. And I'm pretty sure one or a couple of them were from Chelmsford. I think their last name was, can I even say that? Like former Almost Rockstars, Drew Similarities.
I don't know them, but I graduated in 98, so they would be close to my age.
Right around there. Yeah, that's funny. They were probably just some local crazy metal guys that probably scared the shit out of you back then.
No, I loved metal. I moved when I turned. Yeah, no, we listened to all that shit.
That's great.
That's when we saw a crazy UFO thing, or it could be definitely a cloaked craft from the military. What were we listening to?
It was probably Cradle of Filth.
Cradle of Filth. That's what we were listening to when we saw that. We were, yeah.
So isn't it funny knowing that half of our community, that like some parts of our community may think that we're satanic and evil for listening to that?
Oh.
Like, have you noticed that? Like that's like not our community. Like I don't mean it like that, but like that shit gets so mixed in, and it's so unfortunate weird. Because metal to me was my first like bubble burster, because I fell in love with metal at 13 and realized real quick that that was not to be, that's not a thing you do. You're not supposed to like screaming. You're not supposed to like that rah, rah, rah. Yeah. That's evil. That's all evil. Oh, and Ozzy bit a head off of a bat and he's doing lines of fire ants on tour buses. This is all evil, satanic panic stuff. You know what I mean? And it seems like some of that's still here. Like I still run into that. If I post something like hermetic, like esoteric, because I'm into all that stuff, it gets, people think that that's, it's just like occult equals evil, and that's, I mean, we're flying around here all over the place, but it's all really connected because it's all that mimicry. Because that mimicry is that everything occult is evil, the new age is evil, look at Aleister Crowley, so therefore everything's evil, instead of looking at it like the Force from Star Wars.
So I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because
do
you
listen
to
think it's evil so that we don't look at it?
Do you listen to Isaac Weishaupt at all when he breaks down?
I do, and I really like Isaac's work because he's a genius researcher. He uncovers so much. I just don't really like his conclusion all the time. About
I have issues with some people's like delivery or conclusions, but I like to listen to what they're bringing forward anyway. And he brings some stuff to light that I would have never thought about, like that.
Absolutely.
What was that music video I showed you the other day? Oh, whoa, we just moved across. Whoa, hello.
You guys are traveling through the astral realm.
Whoa. You write
with Doja Cat and The Weeknd.
Yeah, stupid fucking names, whatever they are.
Right.
But
did you see it though?
I saw him talking about it. I did not watch the video or his analysis yet, but
I can watch it on silent. I recommend watching it on silent.
Right. So I listened to his analysis first and then watched it. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, it is so overt and in your face that they've got to know people like him and other people are going to pick up on this shit. So I'm trying to figure out why. What's the purpose of this? I get that it's symbology and it's like, you know, whatever they're trying to get across with it. But still, there's the old question of why. Why are they? What's the purpose? What are you trying to do by this? Are you signaling to someone? Like, what's going on? Are you just trying to normalize it? I still don't can't quite wrap my head around the why.
I've come to a bunch of different. Yeah, always the why. Why the lie? Why the lie? Right?
Yeah.
And oddly enough, it's very similar to the flat earth, why the lie, and the hollow earth, probably why the lie, who knows?
They're probably all connected.
I mean, I did see one image with like a flat surface with an ice wall with a hollow like root system underneath with a giant kraken hiding in the middle of it. So that was a really terrifying image.
What was that on?
Like wrapped all the mythology into one. It was just some Google image, some CIA image. You know,
there's a lot of weird surreal like CGI imagery. I love all that stuff. It makes great wallpaper. I think a lot of the whys are probably connected in some way. That might be the biggest mystery. I think we've decoded enough stuff with symbology and all the weird shit going on that we understand there's weird stuff going on. Still haven't figured out why though. Like, what's the end game here? Because we all die. So what are you doing? Like, we might figure it out in our life, but are we gonna like move a level up next time? Like, it's hard to figure out.
I don't know, man. Because like, part of me, it's like there's 15 different ways you could go, and all of them feel just as sound almost or crazy. Either one. Where like, yeah, maybe reincarnation of some kind or regeneration or whatever this. See, that's the thing. You could talk about reincarnation like, oh, they know the secret that there's reincarnation. So they know they're coming back and maybe they figured out a way to find their new body or something and bring it back into the family. But like that connects to like it's just a simulation and they're running it and they can hop back in whenever they want and whatever body they want. So like you could take it whichever way you want, but it's really kind of just saying the same underlying thing, which is that the physical reality itself is suspect. On what level? I don't know. Like personally, I think the word simulation in simulation theory is the psyop itself. Because when I hear simulation theory for a very long time now, I've thought mostly of computers and technical stuff and electricity and humans managing systems and things like that were put into this very human language about what a simulation theory really is, where to me, I experienced simulation theory through psychedelics. Absolutely. This whole place was a charade. And I don't know. I mean, if that's, I can only imagine our minds are trying to survive. We have survival of the fittest. So consciousness wouldn't be purposely creating some ridiculous fiction that is absolutely untrue that you can find remnants of, not just in your own experience, but in history books and religious texts that they don't want you to read everywhere too. Like, that's the creepy part for me. It's all connected, not just from my experiences with psychedelics, the illusory nature of this reality, but the most ancient religions are talking about this, yet most of us don't even really understand that that's what they're saying.
Yeah, you know I really want to get somebody on who's the Vedic stuff and the old, isn't the Vedas the one that has the Maya, the illusion, or is that that's Hinduism?
Is that the
well, it's the same thing.
But
so
it
Vedic,
blew my mind.
Vedic and Hindu are very interrelated.
I thought. So the one that blew my mind, I think it was on Mysterious Universe, but they talked about the breath of Brahma and they related all the cycles of the universe down to like these huge cycles. So we have, you know, little cycles like a day or a year or even a millennium, but the big cycles are like these millions of years, and that cycle is just one breath of Brahma breathing out. creating the universe, and then he breathes back in and it all implodes again, and then you have the Big Bang, which is, you know, the breath of Brahma starts again. So that kind of blew my head, because I'm like, time moves for us in a certain way because we're a certain size. You think about a fly or an ant or any small creature, time moves way different for them because they're smaller and their lifespan's longer. So to a fly, to us, maybe it lives 3 days. Maybe to the fly, that's like 30 years or 100 years. Like, you never know, because their perception of time is different. So if you think about what's way bigger than us, if we're just the size of an electron spinning around a nucleus, our time seems to like drag on, but it could literally be like a millisecond in the universe. Yeah. Going deep,
or it doesn't exist at all. Like, time doesn't exist at all.
That's hard for me to wrap my brain around.
It really is. I mean, existing in past, present, and future all at the same time, because we constantly put our physical forms there in our minds. We try to put ourselves in, like, oh, what would a video game look like of a psychedelic experience, for instance? You can't make one. People try, you know, it doesn't work. You can't speak it. As you said, you don't even want to talk about it sometimes when you come back, but even more than that, you can't. Like I said, I was talking about it too much. you make no sense, because what we're doing is, oh God, who was it? I think it was Exertus, good old Andreas Exertus, in his one of his documentaries on YouTube. He said that lies, what is it? Words are lies talking about truth. And that was something so profound and powerful to me, because in my ecstatic states, I remember the feeling of desperately describing this experience over and over and over again, going, it's like, mm-hmm. And my friends were doing it too. It's like this. And after a while, we realized we weren't talking about the psychedelic experience. We didn't even remember that we took anything. We were talking about reality. And you can't name it. You can't say the thing, but you can talk in circles around it, and you can, we're going real, real meta, but you can take that little concept and really, as above, so below it. And it's that idea is everywhere. Like, we're constantly circling around the truth in our lovely community that we have, and we're never getting to it. It always seems like that Vedic lotus flower is just ever unfolding.
Oh yeah.
And that's why that Vedic symbol exists, because it's an ever unfolding spiral. And I'm just going to ramble back to that mimicry. Who stole the spiral recently, over the past few years? The FBI says it's pedophiles, right? So now we associate the most ancient, most beautiful symbol of the spiral, which is also the swastika.
Yeah.
It represents the universe, and not even just the universe, not even just the physical universe. It represents the unnameable thing. And they've stolen it and put it in the most disgusting place imaginable.
But of course, that's what they do. They do that with literally everything. Everything.
So it's
that's
a
good
it's a
or something
mimicry.
That's like a code, like magic. Magic is probably real. Like, you can probably break through a barrier of some sort of reality if you can do fucking magic. But I sound like a fucking dork saying that, because no one wants to hear that shit. They're like, get out of here, nerd.
Hello.
Magic's stupid.
Have you seen Netflix? You are completely accepted. That is everywhere. It's all I can find.
I don't know
Netflix.
Magic at all. I don't do it. But I'm just saying, people who can are probably really know what the fuck they're doing. And there's probably something to that. But they make it a joke. They make everyone who does magic is a loser and dorky. And everyone who knows astrology is a hokey, gypsy, crazy hippie.
So that's the thing, though. They're not anymore. And I honestly can't confirm that I know how long that's been going on, but they're not anymore. What I meant,
I
was joking,
new,
like, you were calling yourself a dork about magic. You're not. You look at Netflix, look at Amazon. It's all aliens and all magic. That is literally what we're getting now. I don't know what to make of that. A lot of people will jump to, oh, it's revelation of the method. They're throwing this at us, so we just buy into all of it, or predictive programming. I wonder, at my deepest craziness, because of that beautiful experience I remember from psychedelics, where they couldn't have programmed any of this. No. So we always talk about the collective consciousness, right? Like that beautiful hippie idea, and whether that's a thing or not, it's a thing, collective consciousness. So what about the collective ego?
Yeah.
That's them. that's the big ominous them. And it changes faces. People die. New people are born into all these evil families and corporations and stuff. But you can never really pinpoint them, right? Like, you get a few of the suspects, but a lot of them kill the right people off or this or that. Everybody gets away with everything in the end of it. You can't name it. You can't grab it because it's not.
It's not for us to know. Like, we can't. I mean, we could know, but they, I think that they are one step ahead, or at least I think several steps ahead. Like, I think when they die, they know how to reincarnate themselves into the next person and get that person. I think that is a possibility. I have some crazy ways that I could take this.
Do you think it's something, since we can't touch it or can't figure it out, that is the ultimate mystery that maybe we'll find out when we die? Like, do we know? Instantly, as soon as we die, we're like, oh yeah, that again. That's what we came here for, and we fucking forgot, or we failed again, yes. You know?
So this is the most vivid, I don't know what, maybe it's the chemistry between us guys, but I feel really lucid in being able to remember this stuff right now, and
awesome.
Usually I'm not.
Hell yeah.
So what I remember and what set me down the dark path mostly was, and when I say dark path, I wasn't killing anybody or doing horrible things. I was just, destroying myself.
It's okay.
Not thinking forward. But what really sent me there was what I found. What it must have been like, almost like I had a near-death experience without the near-death, because it's like all the experiences I hear about from near-death experiencers is exactly what I experienced under mushrooms, under 8 grams of, or 7 grams, like a quarter of dried mushrooms.
Damn.
Was what took me to the death experience, I guess. And what I kind of saw there was that everything is just as important as everything else. Like, there was no, like, the big meaning, the big secret passes by you just like what you ate for lunch the other day. Like, there is no greater sum other than just what you are as a being. And so when you don't, suddenly that feeling where you don't get to look up and go, oh wow, that was a lot, that whole life thing, can we talk about this now? It's just you. And that's what scared the shit out of me and kind of sent me reeling. And of course I'm still like, oh well, that was just your psyche and blah blah blah, but I don't know. It felt very void and empty, but yeah. with another me almost, there, like almost like dual. It's hard to explain again because of the time thing and even the space thing. It's hard to exist in past, present, and future, and it's also hard to exist in no space, because space is that other dimension that also doesn't exist in this quote unquote spiritual realm or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
like that doesn't exist either. So there was like a knowledge of self, a greater self, and it felt loving and warm, but it felt like it was doing all of this without knowing how it did it too. Like the greater part of myself was like, yeah, we did this. I have no idea how though. And that's why I broke us into billions of pieces. So maybe a lot of us could figure it out. Because I'm lonely as fuck, and I keep just imagining
totally just
all these other personalities
thing.
And stuff. So
one second.
All I got. Yeah, no. That's,
so we got the same thing going on as last night, where we hit an hour, and now the stream's fucking up. So do you want to keep going? Because I can stop this and start a new stream, and it should fix itself.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so everybody listening, stick around. We're gonna take 5 and reset the stream.
Sorry.
And come back and reload, and we'll try it again. Because this is fucking pissing me off. We'll be right back. Hopefully everybody jumps back in, but if not, whatever, I'm recording it and we'll put it out on audio later. So
this is fun.
Wow, we had quite the crew going on in the chat. They were spouting off like no other.
I know.
Other.
Everyone left.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, we're done. Oh, hey, Janet, Deplorable Janet, said she wants to have you on her show. I don't know if you listen to her.
Oh, cool.
Or no,
yeah,
is, but
we've kind of... Yeah, we've chatted back and forth a little bit on Instagram. She's cool shit. I like her show too.
She's awesome. She's one of the
We have such a good community, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a blast on her show. Like
that's cool.
We talked about, I mean, I don't remember.
We talked about poop a lot.
A lot of barf.
Like, the poop show that we did was.
How it goes sometimes. Sometimes we talk about interdimensional fucking astral stuff, and then we talk about shit in our pants.
No, so. What you were just talking about though, with the god that is lonely and bored and shatters himself or herself, whatever itself, because it wants to create. Other beings or a sense of others.
Let me pick up from there because
terrifying.
I was kind of it was very downtrodden and sad and stuff, and I want to recover from that.
No, it's okay, but if it all resorts to that, it's like
of all, it's just my perspective, right? It's just a coincidence that I keep finding it everywhere, you know. A lot of it comes from Eastern mysticism because they like you look at Hinduism and, you know, they talk about like the true self, the higher self and all that and how the ego is part of that. It's a beautiful structure and Hinduism is beautiful. Buddhism, if you don't know, is like the badasses that left Hinduism because they're like, this self is an illusion too. Bullshit. Because that's kind of what Buddhism is. It's like, yeah. No. You're just everything. You're the thing. It's kind of like what Alan Watts came back and was saying in the 70s. He's like, you are the same process as like the way the ocean waves, like your heart beats the same way you make the sun shine.
Well, that's more
like
of the as
it
above, so below
wild.
Type of thing.
It is. And that's the thing I kept. So I, like I said, from the beginning, before all these experiences, I was like a little movie fan, loved baseball, that kind of stuff. And I still appreciate all that kind of stuff, but I wasn't thinking about any of this shit. I wasn't really raised with much church at all. I was I was allowed to be as atheistic or not as I wanted to be. I wasn't interested in any of those things. I just wasn't thinking about any of them. But this experience made me want to look into all of those things. And when I did, and the reason why I preface that way is because I've been accused by even like family members that were like worried about my state of reality, you know, accused of like, well, you probably read all that and then started thinking about it. It's like, no. I was reading and reading and reading and then occasionally going, oh my God, that's it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But then this author goes trails off and he loses it, and then this author, he trails off and he loses it. And I've heard a couple people talk about this, how it's like that experience can give you like an internal map. And now my life has kind of become mapping the pieces onto the outer world from the inner world, like which ones match up and which things out here are bullshit and don't line up, you know. And
yeah,
it's a kind of an interesting way to look at things. And I'm along the path, I found this guy named Ken Wilber. He's a brilliant man. I think he's really old now. I don't know if he's doing much anymore, but he was very Eastern mystic kind of guy. And he always talked about taking all the religions and all the traditions and putting all the information, all the bullet points on the table at once, keeping everything that fit together like a puzzle and getting rid of everything else, because everything else was clearly not meant to be in it.
And well, it's kind of how this whole thing goes anyway. No matter what topic you're looking at, everything we look at, there's, you know, 100 different perspectives you can look at it. And that's what we've been doing, is kind of like pulling from here and there. And I mean, some people call it cherry picking, but I'm looking at, I was just talking to my boss about it the other day. I'm like, I want to see whatever this particular topic is from like 100 different angles. And just because I'm listening to some crazy one doesn't mean I'm in agreement with it. I just want to see what they're saying, then move on to the next one, see what they're saying. And like you said, every once in a while one resonates with you and you're like, ah, this is it. In this, right. You know, on this topic, this is the one that, you know, hits me.
And there's a little bit of truth in everything. That's how you're going to find it. You know, you have to kind of read it all and then say, okay, this makes sense. And even the stuff that doesn't make sense, you can pay attention and put that in another box, in another compartment in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have certain pieces, I think. Every one of us kind of has a piece to the puzzle, maybe. Maybe that's the cute little story that eventually all of us will kind of be on the same wavelength, right. Hypothetically, and we'll all, you know, we'll all put our piece of the puzzle in.
I kind of had a weird epiphany about that.
Get the hell out of here.
That's going to be when that god that shattered himself is fine, or itself, whatever, is like, oh, I've reached enlightenment. And then we all just cease to exist because we're all already it anyway. And so we'll all exist and not exist at the same time.
Schrodinger's soul.
Right. Yeah. Schrodinger's soul. I like that.
That's awesome.
Did you guys see that Netflix show? It was called like Love, Death, and Robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's we love it.
It's awesome.
So how about that one about the fridge or the freezer where there's like a little civilization living inside the freezer? I think it's like Ethan Hawke and an actress that is very popular. And it's so on the nose, guys. It's like,
is it the second season or the first one?
It's the first one. I haven't even gone into the set. I'm so pumped that
the second one's out. Yeah.
I think it just recently came out. We watched it on mushrooms like 2 years ago. So we're going to definitely have to revisit it.
That's wild. So this one, it was like, I think it was one of the last episodes. It was like Ethan Hawke and this other actress. I can't remember who it was. And they opened this freezer they got a new fridge or something. And they opened the freezer and there's like little cavemen running around, and they close it and they open it again, and it's like the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
And they're like, whoa. So they go to bed and they come back, and it's like basically where Elon wants to take us. and then they just sit there and they watch it, because at this point, like you were saying about the different scales, time affects scale differently. And so they're watching this speed up and speed up and speed up, and the lights are coming on and there's lights everywhere, and eventually this little civilization just turns into this crazy like writhing ball of light and just boop, gone.
It ceases to exist.
It just nukes itself.
Right. And then the ironic part is the credits start, and then it cuts back a few lines after the credits start, and they go back and they open the fridge and there's cavemen again. And I thought that was just so beautiful.
That's
but the cavemen
awesome.
Were a little different this time. It's just
That makes sense.
A little bit more advanced.
With the cycles we were talking about, that kind of makes sense, and that would explain like different civilizations that might have been here. And you know, you think about the weirdest shit. Like to me, one of the weirdest theories is Tartaria and like the mud flood stuff. And I don't know. It's almost the same as flat Earth to me, but I could see that because I don't believe history. So I don't believe past like the Dark Ages. Like something happened in the Dark Ages, I think, where they were building these incredible fucking buildings, and they were like, they were the most fucking, you know, stupid people back then, and they were like killing witches. And
yeah.
I don't know how much to believe of any of that. I'm like, they got together enough to build these incredible cathedrals that look way better than your dog shit square buildings you build now. So they were doing something okay back then. It looks pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. We do that to the Hopi. We do that to the Sumerians, the Babylonians. Like,
they were primitive.
Egyptians. They're all primitive. They just all, wow. They physically, they were the shit. And they figured out, we don't know how, but they built all this crazy stuff. But their minds, on the other hand, they were like linebackers. They couldn't put the piece together. They thought there was gods up there and stuff, you know. I mean, I hate when people describe them that way. It's just, it's so disrespectful to like probably our elders that were much more advanced than we are.
Oh, yeah. I saw a meme the other day that showed these like native people, and they're like, so these people lived off the land. They lived in harmony. They really didn't have like crime or anything like that. And they didn't have devices, and they knew how to do things. They knew how to grow plants. They knew how to live in harmony with nature, and people called them primitive. Go to LA right now. That's fucking primitive. What's going on down there? People are
absolutely
shitting in the streets. Like,
whoa,
it is a train wreck down there right now. I don't even want to go near that place. Like there's like an aversion, like a vibe thing where I'm like, I don't even want to drive down that way.
We are very
far
away from
close?
LA.
No,
we're close to Oregon.
Hours.
And it's funny
that you
live where you live, because I'm from there, and I would have definitely called Oregon Oregon, and I did for a very long time, but he made fun of me so bad that I've just learned to say it the right
way. You're clearly
way.
Not from here.
My entire family says Oregon.
Well.
Yeah. Is she from Massachusetts?
Yeah. And I was from Massachusetts too, but my friend and I took off to Oregon because his brother lives out there.
Okay.
I fell in love with the place. I came back here, and thank God I did. Just shit happens the way it does, and I have my family and everything. But before last year, I might have said I want to go out there again and maybe bring my family out there. But Oregon's like there's weird shit going on in Oregon. I worry about my friends in Oregon.
A little bit.
You know?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah, and you guys too, like that whole area, the Northern California up, the whole section.
Not so bad here.
We live in Shasta County, so I don't know if you've heard Shasta County.
Oh, good. Okay.
On news, but we didn't wear masks almost all of COVID.
That's awesome.
There were a couple times where we had to, where he was told at work that he had to, or I went into a store and I had to, and I just wanted to go in and I was having a bad day. So I didn't feel like being rebellious at that moment. But for the most part, I didn't. But sometimes I was just down and I'm like, fuck it, I'll put it on and just fucking get in and get out. I don't care. But it was very, very few and far between. I'd say like I could count on one hand how many times we had to wear one.
Right? Well, I always tell Scott that they're in the belly of the beast up there because they're right by Eugene, Oregon, or Truzilla, Scott. Oh. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I feel so bad for you because they're right on the same wavelength as we are. We've done a couple shows with them, and they're great.
Awesome.
Hopefully, we're going to get to meet them. But
yeah.
I'm like, dude, you guys got to get
out
of there.
Yeah, hope you guys go out there. That's awesome.
But we got to get out of here. Like, I can't get out of California. Like, we have kids and school, you know, all this shit. I'm like, it would take so much to move the fuck out of here. But I would love to go, as cliche as it sounds. Apparently, Texas is looking good, which immediately makes me suspect because I'm like, what's going to happen next in Texas? That's going to, because a lot of people went there. A lot of people went
like
to
Duck,
Idaho.
Duck, go.
Yeah, and then a lot of people, one of my friends went to Wisconsin, and I think I made that joke before. I'm like, what? People move there? I thought people only moved out of Wisconsin, but they're apparently doing great over there.
I don't want the cold anymore. I just got here.
Like, I know, that's why I'm not going there.
I just got to a place where, like, it was 110 degrees today, and that happens all the time. And in Massachusetts, if it's 110, like, my family calls me. They're like, are you okay? Like, do you have air conditioning? Like, are you safe? And I'm like, yeah, I know, Mom. And it doesn't usually get that hot where, like, the max temp is 80 in Massachusetts. You know, that's when you go to the beach. But, you know, it's nice to live in a place where it's...
No,
I know humidity
it.
Sucks. We don't have that, but it's nice to not live in a place where it's, you know, in the ones in the winter time.
I love it. I thrive in it, man. I go, winter mountaineering and everything up in New Hampshire all the time, dude. Oh yeah, I mean, it's metal as fuck. Come on, I mean, it's just.
I just hate the cold.
Times up there, and it's a hot spot for UFOs up there.
Totally.
And I didn't know that, but I did see something up there, and I was like. My friend and I were driving up and
we got
to a parking lot. We were right near Lincoln, I think. Lincoln, New Hampshire. We might have been further up, like on the Kankamangas Highway.
Oh, yeah. The that's the haunted the highway.
The ghost stories. That's right. So it's all kind of related to that. I kind of dug into that. And of course, it's a lot of UFO shit. And I saw this big, bright street light. Crazy. It didn't look like I'm like, what is. Like a mini mall or something doing up in the, we're looking for our trailhead. And then we pulled into the parking lot, which was like real close to what I saw. And that all of a sudden there's no street light anywhere. No street light.
Whoa.
I'm like, okay, that was unmistakable. There was a giant light that I was expecting to come around and see the big concrete bottom and the light. It wasn't, it was just gone.
Oh,
so
weird.
I don't know. That could have been nothing.
That's
could have been
so,
something.
Well,
it could have been one of those orbs, you know? The orb ones are crazy to me.
Yeah, I have seen those. That's what
that's
I was
like
about to say. Yeah.
A huge, huge percentage of UFO sightings are the orbs. I've never seen
that's
one.
The thing. I thought I saw straight-up UFOs. I think it was two summers ago, and I think I might have talked about this on my podcast before, but I was just looking up at a 747 and pointing to it for my little boy to look at. Like, hey, look, Finn, check it out. It's a plane. And... when I did, I noticed around the contrail was these little objects, five of them, swooping around, like legit around. They disappeared behind it. And so they were things. They were happening. They weren't like just little
how big were they, like basketball size?
They were
size?
Tiny from my, I mean,
oh, okay.
Like, you know, from my perspective, they were tiny compared to the contrail. Not tiny, but pretty small compared to the plane's trail. But they were literally going behind and over. So I could see them literally doing deliberate maneuvers. And there was five of them. And then I got out my camera. Finally, once I realized, oh, my God, I'm doing the thing. I'm not filming it. Like, everybody screws up. And so I only – it's so cliche. I literally only have – and it's so blurry. Just one of them beaming off this way. But before that one disappeared off this way, the other four blinked out like one, two, three, four, gone. And I'm just standing there like, oh, holy shit, it finally happened. It finally happened. You know,
dude, we just talked about this last night
with
Dave.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I love that show. I'm not coming back either. It's so sad.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah, I think People of Earth is, I think that show is dead. No. I'm pretty sure I heard it did not get picked up for another season. Am I thinking of the right one? Is that the one with Isaac from The Daily Show? And it's like the group of people and the lizard people and all
Yeah.
That awesome Lame. Support group they formed. Yeah, I don't think that show's coming back.
And, had too much faith
you
in
just
it.
Crushed my dreams. I'm super sad right now.
I know,
that show is
really
amazing.
Sad.
They probably were like, dude, this show's like exactly what's happening. We can't possibly.
Yeah, they're like, we'll just give them our
shit. It's not even predictive
instead.
Programming at this point. It's just the truth. We can't do that. Okay, let's dial it back a little, guys.
But talking about your the orb things, we just talked about this with Dave yesterday. I was always super interested in like the fae folk thing and like the gnomes and the trolls and all that stuff.
Me too.
And there's so many close comparisons to the UFO stuff with the fairy stuff. And I want to hear any modern day stories of like meeting fairies or like drinking their weird food or what. Like,
Joe just said he would eat the fairy food. Can you fucking believe that? He was like, if they offered it to me, I would totally eat it. And
it depends.
Like,
if they
so
were
you
like,
want to be there forever?
If they were like, here's
you.
Some
That's
fairy,
what will happen.
If there's,
That's
here's some fairy bacon. Here's some fairy bacon. Yeah, I'm going to eat it.
No,
sorry.
You can't. They would give you fairy bacon.
Is that
to
the
keep
rule?
You there. Yeah, you don't eat the food.
The folklore.
I don't know all the rules. Yeah.
But the funny thing is the
I
people
know they're
that,
very mischievous.
The people that didn't eat it came back, but you don't know how many people like ate the food and did something else happen. You don't know.
The people who eat the food don't come back. The people who don't eat the food are the ones who get to tell the stories because they're like, I wasn't hungry, so I didn't eat.
No, I just want, I like the, like, Lord of the Rings type shit, you know, so I want to, like, meet some weird creatures like that. I want to go to the hobbits and meet my people and live in my hole in the ground. I'm a big fan.
But, I think we'd have to go back in time, man. I think that's all we would have to be able to
do. Is that back in time or is that forward in time or is it a different dimension at the same time?
Well, I mean, I was just playing off the idea of the Denisovan people or the Denisovan people. I think Randall Carlson says it that way. I can't remember. But, like, they were smaller people. Maybe that's not the right people I'm thinking of, but I know that there were hobbit type species of hominids back in the day. And then of course there's the whole conspiracy that seems really legit about like tons of giant bones being like whisked away to the Smithsonian and shit back in the turn of the 20th century and stuff. So, I mean, you might have had some fucking wizards and some hobbits running around or something. I don't know. It seems pretty pretty spot on.
I heard somebody talking about Middle Earth being from Lord of the Rings being like a representation of like closer to what is happening here, only kind of like allegorically, or, you know. But
it's very close to Vedic texts.
There's so many ways to look at it. Like, is it an allegory? Is it a different dimension? Is it, you know, was it a long time ago? Was it like Star Wars where it was a long, long time ago, but also weirdly in the future?
Very far away. Yeah, and very future. Right, well, yeah. It was just far away. It doesn't mean that it was
future. Very, very
it was
far
a long
away.
Time ago in a different fucking
place. Well, think
place.
About that, though. What do they tell us about like the speed of light and objects that exist that far away from us are that far away in time anyway. So it's really the same thing. So it's almost a George Lucas was being completely redundant. All he had to say was far away.
Yeah, exactly.
Far, far,
He's
far
like,
away.
This is light years away.
It
so it's
a
obviously a long time ago because you're seeing it now, stupid.
We're going to have to ask, we're having Conspiracy Kyle on, I think, Thursday. Conspiracy
He's awesome.
In the Force, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, He's I can't great. Wait to ask him weird questions. I don't know anything about Star Wars besides like Darth Vader. I know that. But I want to, she knows more about Star Wars, so that's going to be an interesting show.
I grew up with that. So, but I only like the first three because I was born in
the Hero's Path.
So I only like the first three. The rest of them, I'm like, fuck you. I should be not an old person about it and be more like open to all of it. I should get into all of them, but
I have a friend that would totally agree with that. That you
the
should,
first three but. Or the third through like whatever fourth through sixth ones are the best ones.
Yeah, the Hero's Path, Joseph Campbell. I mean, it's basically the story of Jesus. It's the story of every hero we've ever had.
Yeah, the traditional Hero's Path for sure.
It's basically you can break down every story ever told into that. That Joseph Campbell shit is unbelievable. It's actually a little too much for my head. I listened to a bunch of his audiobooks. I didn't read his books. I don't have time for that shit. But I listened to a bunch of his shit, and it's a little too much for my brain, where I have to take a day off from podcasts and listen to music to kind of think about what he was saying. Because I'm like, oh my God, he's right about most of this shit. Like, any major movie, like even Harry Potter or anything like that, it follows so much of the hero's journey. And then you think about other ones, Lord of the Rings, classic hero's journey. And that's one of the biggest movies ever. You know, any kind of like huge movie, Star Wars included, is it follows this. And the weird thing is, the hero's journey kind of follows the tarot too.
Yes.
Have you ever gotten to tarot
it
stuff?
It does.
There's a lot of correlations with tarot and the hero's journey, that you can just place the cards in different spots and you're like, oh, there's a hero's journey for this movie. Here's, you know.
That's cool. Man.
Yeah, it seems everywhere. It's always like permeated. That's just that one story, it seems, over and over again, just colored in a different way. And like, you familiar with like Matt LaCroix and all of his research?
Trying to get him on.
Yeah, he's a busy man, I think, right now.
Yep.
He's got a lot of good stuff in the works, but he's up my way. I think he's up in Maine somewhere. So like, there's a bunch of people on the East Coast that are really into the ancient past and have like big platforms. It's weird. It's all
he's awesome.
That's really cool, because they're so like liberal, it seems like, you know, people don't on that side of the country want to talk about stuff like that. They want to just like fall in line and be robotic. So I love hearing when people from the East Coast are into this shit, because it's like,
I know, me too.
Thank you,
dude. I had no idea, like half the podcasters that I was talking to were from like Connecticut, New Hampshire, and all, you know. So it's great. It's just, this community is so welcoming and beautiful and awesome. I can't say enough good about being a part of it, because like I said, I feel like we all just each have our own little piece of the puzzle to offer up. Nothing more, nothing less, you know.
That's all I got,
it's
is this little
like,
tiny
we don't
little
know
piece.
Shit, and we know we don't. We're just like,
that's the
all
whole
trying
point.
To figure it out. We're just trying to figure it out, and we're trying to reach out and ask and
that's
learn.
Why it's hard to not ask the same questions all the time, because I'm like, what do you think about this same thing
we
just talked
about?
No, we ask
the same question, because it's like the same as reading a different alien encounter. Like, I want to read every anecdotal story that's ever happened. I don't care if it sounds the same, but it's their experience. I want to hear their perspective, even if it's kind of similar, because you can
want to put every...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
No,
you can
that's
put it all on the table.
Yeah.
You can put all the different perspectives on that table and kick out what doesn't fit. And I think we're getting to that stage as a community, because all I'm hearing is stuff like what the Truthzilla guys are doing. Like, all three of them are putting together that amazing thing out there. There's stuff going on over here in the East Coast. Like, we're coming together physically. We're starting to like put shit together. And
starting to
do more than
just talk about it and actually do physical actions into something.
And I think part of that is going to be a slow slog process of kind of throwing out and finding out what themes all of us have probably been following that are absolutely useless. You know, I bet big chunks of what we think are the garbage they put in, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Or, I don't know. Are they putting garbage in, or are they leaving it there for us to find? I don't know. It's crazy.
Oh, I know. It's so much. It's so much. I actually think
you got to have a palate cleanser every once in a while.
Kind of.
I keep
similar,
going back to that ego thing.
I think that every experience that happens, so people like to take like names. So I'm really bad at names. I'm not a name person. So I don't know. I can tell stories and be like, there was this one guy, but I don't have like the name of the person, but it doesn't fucking matter. Like, that is a little detail.
I need
doesn't
sources.
Fucking matter.
Sources.
It just matters that it happened. And if it happens so many times and you can put it all together and put it in a box in your own head. Okay. And then and try to figure it out. The names, the details, the places, the dates, it kind of doesn't matter, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, it does if you want to keep looking into it and find it on the internet. But if you're trying to do research and figure it out, like,
that's exactly how my whole thing works, is I listen to so much shit. I absorb shit for like 9 hours a day. And I come home and I'm like, babe, blah. And I have no like citing for anything I'm talking about. I'm just like, I heard this here. I heard this here. I don't know what the fuck this is. I don't know what this dude's name is, but this is what I heard. Just listen to me.
Yeah. If my wife wasn't into the same stuff, yeah, she would definitely need like a support group. Like my husband's a conspiracy theorist, you know?
Did she ever go on the shows with sometimes. You?
She hasn't yet, but I really want her to eventually because she's got a lot of good stuff to say. She's shy.
Oh, but that's come on. Okay. I hear she's that my, all the time. But...
She's being my muse for now, and okay. She's okay with that. She does enough. She's exhausted.
I'm sure, but it's nice to be able to just like have a chat. That's why when he wanted to start the show, I was like, oh, I want to do it. Like, this is fun. That's I want to awesome. Be able to share all so this good. Stuff. And so she yeah. should too. I encourage everyone. We have a lot of people who come on who are like, oh yeah, my wife is totally into it too, but she's kind of shy. And I'm like, let me be her like support group. Like I will do that. I should just rally together and get all of the wives of all of the people and be like, no, let's all do this together. We have to. Right. We yeah. all have
Hell
a voice.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she says stuff to me when I'm telling her about stuff. She's like, well, wait a minute, but how does that fit if you told me this just yesterday? I'm like,
see, she needs I don't to be know. On your
I
show.
Don't know. Well, I'm like, you know, now I have both these things I still think are legitimate now. Ugh.
Yeah.
And there goes the cognitive dissonance.
Another perspective. Yeah.
well, let you go for the night. Right. I know it's super fucking late over there.
Shit,
and
it's
all
like
of our, I think all of our listeners are either shit faced or going to bed anyway. Janet had to go, which means she was shit faced. If you're listening,
yeah,
Janet.
But she lives in the Eastern time, I think.
So is he.
Central time. Is she around here?
No, but she's in that time. She's in the Central time zone, actually, I think.
Is she Central?
Huh. She is.
But yeah, anyway. We're definitely going to have you back on again, but before we go, let's give you your plugs. Thanks. And I also, I'm so sorry, Gnome from Dead Trust, I forgot to plug you. Thank you so much for your help with our stream. I'm going to have to hit you back up again because for some reason at an hour it decides to take a massive steaming shit on me, but we'll figure that out. But I really appreciate
Dead
Trust.
Yeah, right when
podcast.
I said there was no God.
Yeah,
it's when you get close to the truth. That happened with Generation Z last night. I was like, we're getting too close to the truth.
It was
it's
actually
at
an hour mark. Apparently in an hour is the time when we get close to the truth. So
more, you know.
if everybody only knew it was that easy to get to the truth, 1 hour conversation. But Gnome from Dead Trust, great. Dusty and Hammer, thanks for all your help. And you guys have a great show.
Thanks,
everyone
guys.
Check that one out too. Give us your plugs, dude, and then we'll get the fuck out of here.
All right. Well, you could just find me on Twitter with the Deep Share, Instagram, the Deep Share podcast. I'm on Facebook, but there's really, I mean, what's the point? I mean, yes, I have a Facebook DARPA account for my podcast just to get the word out there to some of my relatives that I can still freak out, you know? But yeah, just find me over on there on YouTube, Odyssey. I'm on those places trying to grow elsewhere, going other places, hopefully. And I'm thinking about starting my own website and maybe just releasing a lot of this into Word format.
Yeah.
Maybe a blog of some kind. I don't know. But yeah. And nice. Find me on Alt Media United too, just like you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Great talk,
a lot
dude.
Of fun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We'll catch you next time. Stick around after we're done recording and we'll say proper goodbye.
Oh man.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on firsthand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. Buy Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.